Take your Bibles this morning and turn, please, to Luke chapter 10. Luke's Gospel, chapter number 10. This morning I am going to bring a message that I believe the Lord impressed upon my heart. I haven't been able to get it off of my heart and mind for the last several days. And so I, a few days ago, said, "Okay, Lord, I know what you want me to preach. It's not what I'd scheduled to preach 2 weeks ago, but it's what He told me he wanted me to preach several days ago, and I trust by his grace to be able to communicate a truth that the Lord has been burdening my heart with. And after having spoken to Linda about the events of the retreat and hearing what some of the subjects were that were dealt with, perhaps this will kind of dovetail with some of the things that the ladies have been learning as well. Luke chapter 10, and I want us to look beginning in verse number 38, if we may. "Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet, and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, 'Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me.' And Jesus answered and said unto her, 'Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her.'" This morning I bring you a message titled, "At the Feet of Jesus." At the feet of Jesus. May we pray together. Our Heavenly Father, as we come to your word, may we come humbly. And may we determine in our hearts for a few moments to linger at your feet. And I pray that you would minister to us as you alone are able. And I pray, Lord, that you would speak to every heart, for we ask it in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. I was talking to my brother Stephen on the telephone this week, and he recently came through a revival meeting at his church. Dr. John Getch was there and preached for them, and I love to hear Brother John Getch preach. They call him the Walking Bible. He has the entire New Testament committed to memory, and also about two-thirds of the Old Testament committed to his memory. And you can call out a reference, and he can quote that reference to you. He could stand and quote book after book of the Bible to you. And he's so full of the Scriptures that he's such a profound preacher. I mean, it's just an amazing thing. But I was talking to Stephen and he said, "You know, it's an amazing thing, Mark." He said, "I just finished a 5-week sermon series on our position in Christ." And he said, "Man, I really plumbed the depths of the Scripture and I worked hard to give the truth. And man, I thought, you know, the Lord really used it." And he said, Brother Getch came, and you know, he preached a great message on the final night of the conference, and it was almost a summary of the 5 sermons that I had preached in great detail. And he said, "So after the service, we took the guest speaker out to dinner, and I took my sister-in-law and her husband along with, and so that they could enjoy the fellowship." And he said, as we were seated, my sister-in-law looked at me and said, "Man, Steve, wasn't that a great message? Have you ever heard anything like that?" And he said, "You know, I wanted to punch her right in the snot box." He said, "I'd only just given it for the last 5 weeks in a row. I wondered, where in the world was she?" You know, sometimes I wonder where people are. You know, they're sitting in the church, but having ears, they hear not. Having eyes, they see not. I think about what the Lord told to His disciples. He said, "Give not that which is holy unto dogs, neither cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them underfoot and turn again and rend you." Sometimes it just doesn't make any good sense to tell people the truth. They aren't listening anyway. They don't have any appreciation for it. And when He said, "Cast not your pearls before a swine," lest they trample them underfoot and turn and rend you. You know what it tells me? That people that don't have any respect for the message don't respect the messenger either. Did you know that? People that don't listen to the preaching will be more than free to criticize the preacher and rend him, as it were. And so, it's my prayer today that having ears, we might hear. Having eyes, we may see. And I have prayed, Lord, open the eyes of our spiritual understanding, that this great truth in Your Word may be seen by all, and not just seen, but appropriated into our lives. I think this is a great contrast that we see in Christianity today, that of Martha and Mary. And I want to say that Martha is representative of service to the Lord in the Bible. Mary, we find, Mary of Bethany, is representative of pure worship in the Bible. And one is not necessarily more important than the other per se, although you have to begin with worship, and may our service then spring out of a heart of worship and intimacy with the Lord. But you can't necessarily have a heart that worships God purely but never serves the Lord fervently. And so one will always give rise to the other. And so my prayer personally and my prayer corporately is that we might not just say, I want to have intimacy with the Lord, but I want to do nothing for the Lord. But might we have an intimate relationship with the lover of our soul, and out of that love relationship might a heart of service rise, and may we have hands to the work. And I pray that today as we examine this, that we would take a hard look in the mirror to see if there's some imbalance in our lives. And as we go through the Scriptures, we're going to see three occasions where Mary of Bethany is named in the Bible. The three separate times she's spoken of, and what you're going to discover is that each of the three times that we find Mary of Bethany named in the Bible, she is at the feet of Jesus. The first of those instances we have just read. In verse 38, we read it again. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister, this was the younger sister, Mary, called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about. What does it mean to be cumbered? It means to be burdened or overwrought. And so she had a lot on her plate, so to speak, and she really had a bee in her bonnet. She was cumbered about much serving. Here she was doing all the work. And where was Mary? She was in the other room. Didn't Mary know that the women weren't supposed to be there with the men? Our culture doesn't do it this way. She's supposed to be in here helping me wait the tables and do the work. She helped me prepare it. Now she's not helping me serve it. And there's something essentially wrong with this picture, she felt. And so she was there and serving, and it says that she was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? And I'm going to say this to you, that when your life is imbalanced and you are busy with stuff, doing the burdensome things of life, you know, all the stuff that you have to do, and when your life is out of round, spiritually speaking, you're going to assume the wrong things about what God thinks about you. And in fact, I've discovered that there are a lot of people that flat out are just out there serving because they think that if they do it, God's going to care more for them. But I would have you know that God doesn't have any favorite children today. He loves us all the same, and that if you were the only person on planet Earth that needed saving, Jesus loved you enough that He would have come and died on the cross of Calvary for you alone. But here is Martha serving the Lord, and she's all worried and cumbered about because, man, she's doing this and she's doing that. And she's saying, Lord, let me give you a hand here. Lord, what you need to do here is tell my sister to get with the program. Now, I don't suppose any of us have ever been busy about stuff and looked around and seen others that ought to be doing some stuff with us and been frustrated about it and thought that the Lord needed just a little encouragement to get them getting their gear, their fanny in gear so that they can be helping you. Have you ever felt like that way? Have you ever felt like, here I am, I'm the only one that's doing it. Once again, I'm down at the church. Where's the rest of these committed Christians? They talk a great game, you know. And we hear that kind of complaint sometimes from people. And, you know, we're glad you're here, Martha. We're happy you're at it. But, you know, I'm going to tell you something. It's possible for you to be serving the Lord and do it with the wrong motivation and with the wrong method. And I got to tell you something. You're going to turn into an ugly, nasty person that nobody wants to be around. You might find out that nobody turns out to the work party because they can't stand you. And you know what? While they're not, they can't stand you, you're there griping about them. And it's a vicious cycle. And we're so cumbered and burdened about stuff. But about stuff that's not really that important. I believe that when we determine to sit at the feet of Jesus, we're going to see something here. The Lord was kind to Martha. He acknowledged her service. But He said, thou art careful. Do you know what He means by that? You're all stressed out, sister. You need to take a chill pill. Now, that's in the Greek, if you read it. I know a little Greek. You know, he fixes a good chicken breast down on the corner. But but he's like, thou art careful. In other words, Martha, you are all stressed out. And man, you are filled with some anxiety. You're going to give yourself a bleeding ulcer. You need to just calm down. Cool it. And what he said is this. You need to take 2 Tagamet and call me in the morning. Is that what he said? No. He said, here's what's needed. Here's what you need right here. Mary has chosen it. It's the good part. There's 2 parts here. One is worship, the other is service. They go hand in hand. But the good part is the worship because service rises out of pure worship to the Lord. And that will never be taken away from her. You can serve, and if you don't do it for the right motivation, guess what? No reward. But when you sit at the feet of Jesus because you love Him, that endureth forever. It will never be taken away. And so, as we sit at the feet of Jesus, and as we see Mary in 3 instances in her life, would you notice this, that the feet of Jesus is, number one, a place to listen. A place to listen. The Bible tells us here that Mary, which sat at Jesus' feet, heard His Word. She heard His Word. Now today, one of the commodities that we celebrate in our life is the commodity of time. It's one of those expendable resources that is not a renewable resource. Because once you've spent time, you can never get time back. You spend money, you'll get another check. You can go make some money. You understand that? Money you can go back and get. But I'm going to tell you, when you give time to the Lord, it's a sacrifice because it's not a renewable commodity. And it's something that we are very interested in. How many of you are interested in the time? in how you pass your time. Okay, there are some people that think great preaching is short preaching because they're interested in time. All right, they've never had to try to communicate broad truths and do it in somebody else's time frame. But I'm just not as smart as everybody else. It takes me a longer time to say stuff sometimes. You heard about the Bible salesman, didn't you? There was a guy, he needed a job, and he was at church all the time asking, "Would you pray for me? I need a job." He had a speech impediment, and finally the guy said, "Well, you know, I heard there's a publishing company, and they're needing door-to-door salesmen selling Bibles." So he applied for the job, and another guy applied for the job. Everybody thought, this guy's a smooth salesman. The guy that was a smooth salesman at the end of the week had sold one case of Bibles. He was pretty proud of himself. And the guy with a speech impediment had sold 30 cases of Bibles. And nobody could believe it. And so they took the guy aside and said, "Man, what's your secret to selling so many Bibles?" And he says, "Well, I go to the door and knock on the door. And then I say, I'm selling Bibles. Would you like me to read it to you, or would you just like to buy one?" We're interested in saving a little time. But when you sit at the feet of Jesus to listen, you have to make a concerted determination that I'm going to give this time to Him. Do you know what I found? That so many today have not slotted any time for worship just to listen to what God has to say. Just to listen to what God has to say. Martha stands in contrast, because you know what Martha wanted to do? She wanted to speak her peace. Mary wanted to listen to the Lord. The Bible says in James, "Wherefore let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." People get all excited and they yell at people because they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing. And you know, I want to ask you a question. How's that working out for you? Because you know what? It'll never accomplish a good end. It worketh not the righteousness of God. But Mary sat at the feet of Jesus. Why? Because it was a place for her to listen to the Word of God. Martha, in contrast, didn't want to listen, but she wanted to be heard. She was going to help God out and tell God what He needed to do to get Mary all squared away. When in fact, Mary wasn't the one that needed to be squared away at all. But Martha was serving. She was right in the middle of it all. But she had the answer, and she was going to tell the Lord, "Lord, you know what you need to do? You need to take my sister aside, get her lined out, and tell her she needs to get her fanny in the kitchen. But now, Lord, God, did you hear me?" And Mary was there imbibing of the Spirit of the Lord, listening to the Word of God, and worshiping Him in spirit and in truth. And Martha just wanted to be heard. True listening is a pure act of humility. True listening is a pure act of humility. No proud-minded spirit will sit at the feet of Jesus. They will come into the presence of Jesus to tell Him what He needs to do to satisfy them. But a true listener will have pure humility in their heart. Isn't it interesting that God gave us two ears and only one tongue? Did you ever think of that? That maybe we should listen twice as much as we speak? Sometimes we get that turned around, don't we? The Bible tells us in Psalm 46:10, "Be still and know that I am God." And to sit at the feet of Jesus is a determination to humbly come into the presence of Almighty God in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, according to Colossians chapter 2. And to sit down and realize, I don't know it all. I don't even know close to half of it all. I don't even know some stuff that I ought to know. And I need to sit here in the presence of Almighty God and listen to what He has to say. But some of us think our schedule and our agenda and our stuff is much too important to sit at the feet of Almighty God. And so we have not slotted any time in the course of our day to sit at the feet of Jesus. And if we do tell others we're sitting at the feet of Jesus, what we find ourselves there doing is telling the Lord what He needs to do to satisfy us. And in fact, we're not really sitting at the feet of Jesus. We're bringing demands to the ear of Jesus because we want to be heard. We don't care to listen. Mary chose the good part, which will never be taken away, where she wanted to come into the presence of the Lord humbly and say, Lord, I want to receive whatever it is that You have, whatever You have to say, that's what I need, and I'm going to be still in Your presence, and I'm going to worship You in humility by opening my ears and closing my mouth and allowing my heart to be filled with just You. The feet of Jesus is a place to listen. Two more times we find Mary of Bethany in the Scriptures. And one is at a very difficult time. And I want you to turn over several pages to John chapter 11, where we find Mary at Jesus' feet once again. Mary and Martha have been beset because their brother, their only brother Lazarus, who took care of them and provided for them, who gave them security, became ill. And the Lord was going towards Bethany but delayed His journey to Bethany. And during the delay, guess what? Their brother Lazarus died. And they believed with all of their hearts that had Jesus been there, this terrible thing would never have happened. And so now the Lord and the disciples have gone, and the disciples are now believing we're going to go to Bethany and we're going to mourn with the family and friends of Lazarus because we love Lazarus. And in verse number 32, we find Mary finally coming out to the Lord. She had resisted coming out because the Bible tells us that she remained in the house in verse number 20. She was so upset in her spirit because she believed that the Lord could have done something about it had He been there. She didn't even come out of the house when the Lord came in verse 20. And now in verse 32, then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw Him, she fell down at His feet, saying unto Him, Lord, if Thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, He groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have you laid Him? And they said unto Him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. The second time we find Mary of Bethany in the Gospels, we find her once again at the feet of Jesus. And we find that the feet of Jesus, secondly, is a place to lament. A place to lament. What do you mean, lament? She brought a lamentation unto the Lord out of a heavy and a sorrowful heart. She was burdened because of the death of her brother, and now she was brokenhearted. And now she didn't come and just purpose to sit down at the feet of Jesus. But what she did was she literally fell at the feet of Jesus in absolute despair. And in her brokenness, she called out to the Lord. And I believe today that there are those in this room that are saying, I want to be a pure worshiper, but my heart is so broken and I am cumbered about stuff. I am troubled about things. And I know that I don't need to just come to the Lord and bring my list of demands to get God in order so that He can do the things that please me. But I'm broken in my spirit. I want you to know that the feet of Jesus, that is a place where you can come to lament, to pour your heart out to the Lord your God. You know, the Bible says in the book of Psalm chapter 34 and verse number 18, that the Lord is nigh unto all them that are of a broken heart. In my mind's eye, I see Mary of Bethany coming and throwing herself at the feet of Jesus with tears, saying, Lord, if you were just here, He wouldn't have died. And maybe she just wrapped her arms around His ankles and rested her cheek upon His foot and sobbed. And I want to tell you something. The Lord was right there for her in the hour of her lamentation. So many in the world today, when trouble comes and they want to lament circumstances in their life or losses in their life, what they do is they're angry with God and they go anywhere but to the feet of Jesus. They're upset with their circumstances and they become bitter in their spirit. And they're not humbled before God. They're not broken before God. They're not bringing lamentation before God. They're broken in their spirit, but there's bitterness in them and there's anger in them. And that comes out at God. And instead of humbling ourselves at the feet of Jesus, falling before Him on our faces to show our reverence for who He is, we want to meet Him on a peer level and we want to get nose to nose with God just to tell Him what we think about things. But that wasn't the case with Mary. She found His feet to be a place to bring her brokenness. And just out of a contrite heart, say, God, it really hurts. And I just don't know what to do about this. And the Lord will understand. The problem is, we stay busy with stuff that crowds God out, that doesn't allow much time at Jesus' feet. And so we stay angry. God wants us broken and contrite before Him. And He will give you comfort. You see, He told these ladies, this happens so that you might see the glory of God. And all we focus in upon is the dark cloud and not the shining, gilded edge of that cloud, that when the cloud is removed, we might see the glory of the sun. God wants to show it to you, but so long as you refuse to prostrate yourself before God, you'll be focused on the cloud and never see the glory of the sun. But when you come to His feet and you say, Lord, it hurts. I'm broken. I don't know what to do. And we're transparent before Him. We'll find a place of comfort at the feet of Jesus. And lastly, we find the third instance where Mary of Bethany is named, and again, she's at the feet of Jesus. Would you turn the page in John to chapter 12, where once again we find Jesus in Lazarus's house. Lazarus, the one whom He raised from the dead. And in chapter 12, we find, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom He raised from the dead. There they made Him a supper, and Martha served. By the way, would you notice something here? It says in verse 2, they made Him a supper. And I think that's in there on purpose. You see, that's a plural pronoun meaning more than one. So guess who fixed supper? Martha and Mary. So she got the serving part down. You know why? She had the worship part down. But Lazarus, one of them that sat at the table with him, then took Mary, in verse 3, a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not. Always. We will find the feet of Jesus a place to listen. We will find the feet of Jesus a place to lament. And thirdly, we will find the feet of Jesus a place to lavish. And can I tell you something? Mary, who fell at the feet of Jesus to worship and listen, when she fell at the feet of Jesus to bring her brokenness before Him to find healing, now falls at the feet of Jesus to lavish a gift on Him. She came to the feet of Jesus, and when she came, she didn't come and say, Lord, I need something from You. Lord, I need You to do something for me. The reason why she came to His feet that day was to give Him something, not to take anything from Him. And if we took petitions out of our prayer life, I wonder what's left. If we took petitions out of our prayer life, I wonder what we'd have left. Friend, I want to tell you, she came to the Lord and it wasn't because she wanted to get something. It wasn't because she wanted Him to fix someone. It was because she was so grateful for what He had done for her. She just wanted to lavish a gift upon Him. When was the last time you came to the Lord not because you needed something, but because you were so grateful for what He had done for you that you just felt like it's the least I can do. I need to give my Lord something. I just want to come and sit at His feet and I want to anoint His feet with something of sacrifice. The three times that we find Mary of Bethany in the Bible, she's at the feet of Jesus, and all three times there was something that was poured out. When she came to the Lord and listened to Him, she poured out self. It wasn't, I know something. Listen to me, Lord. Guess what I know? Guess what I learned? Fix this person. Let me give you a tip on Martha. No, she sat and she poured out self and she humbled herself before Him. She poured that out to the Lord. I'm emptying myself of me, Lord, because I want to be filled with Thee. Secondly, we find her in lamentation, grieving the loss of her brother. And there too she poured something out. And she laid down and grasped His feet. And she poured out her soul before Him. She didn't hide it. And now she comes to the Lord and out of a spirit that loved Him, and the soul that was grateful to Him, she poured out an offering unto Him. That said, I just want you to really know that I love you. And that's why I've come to your feet. And very few, if any, except the Lord, understood it. And when she did it, she was criticized for it. When she sat at Jesus' feet, Martha criticized her for that. And now when she lavished the Lord with a gift, they criticized her for that. You see, the world tends to criticize much of what it doesn't understand. And the church will even criticize what it doesn't understand. And we don't understand pure worship because we do so little of it. And we focus in on others because we are not focused in upon God. And we want people to give to us, and we're not in a place where we come to the feet of Jesus simply to give. And today, we should come to the feet of Jesus as pure worshipers with humble hearts, contrite before Him, saying, Lord, because You have loved me so generously, and You have given to me so bountifully, I lay myself at Your feet, and I find Your feet a place to lavish my love on You. She has chosen the better part. Did she serve? Oh, yes, she did. Was she criticized for it? Yes, she was. She poured out her life at the feet of Jesus. Now I want to ask you a question. For all He's done for you, how much time have you spent at His feet lately? I know you got stuff to do. But you know what I've discovered? We have time for what we want to do. We make time for whatever in the world we want to do. A few weeks ago, the church family gave me a gift for pastor appreciation, and they gave me a couple of tickets to go to the Phoenix Suns game this past Thursday. And I don't know how they... I think someone got them from work or something, but they were expensive tickets. $115 a seat. And it was a late game because it was being broadcast on TNT. And the Mavericks and the Spurs were playing before, I think it was, and they had to wait for that game to get over to start the Suns game. And the game started about 8:40. It didn't get over till after 11 o'clock at night. You know what I saw as I sat there in the Lexus box taking in the game? Brother Steve went with me. We saw a family with kids that came in and sat down in the $115 seats. Seven of them. I counted them. Figure how much that cost them. And then you know what I watched them do? I watched them go up and pay $33 a head to walk through the buffet line as often as they wanted to in the Lexus Club. And when we left at past 11, they were still there. On a school night. You know what I learned from that? We find time, we find resources for whatever we want. But when it comes to time at the feet of Jesus, we have stuff to do. And that is because we have ungrateful hearts. Oh, we might say, oh, praise the Lord for this or that or the other thing, so long as everything's going our way. But when was the last time you just came and sat at His feet and said, I don't need You to do anything or give me anything. I just want to tell You how much I love You, and I want to lavish this on You. I want to give You 10 extra minutes today just because I love You. I'm going to sit 5 extra minutes in church after the service is over just because I'm not in a hurry to get out of Your presence. I just want to bask in what You're doing in my heart. Or we can be like Martha. The choice is yours. But you'll never be the right Martha until first you have a merry heart that says, I'll be a pure worshiper at the feet of Jesus. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would allow this message to take root in our hearts. And Lord, we must confess before you that so often we are not pure worshipers, that we allow everything that the world brings our way to crowd out that time at Jesus' feet. And Lord, I pray that having ears we might hear, that having eyes we may see, that the place of comfort and healing, the place of grace, is at the feet of Jesus. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed just for a moment. Perhaps there's